The traditions of Wazrakila. The transmissions of Wazrakila, as has already been described, the foremost meditational deities of the ancient masters were Yangdak, Eruka, and Wazrakila. Since the tradition of the Yangdak cycle is already known, the propagation of Wazrakila will now be discussed. There are indeed many different versions of the means for attainment of Wazrakila to be found among the lineages descended from Padmasambhava, the preceptor of Odhyana. They include the king's tradition of Wazrakila, the venerable lady's tradition, the royal lady's tradition, also the Nanam or Rong tradition, and the black deity and variegated deity. These last two taking their names from the color of the deities' bodies. Though all of these traditions are the same essential nature, they are known as this or that by their distinctive esoteric constructions and by the descent of their particular transmitted precepts. 1. Concerning the king's tradition. After the great master Padmasambhava had consecrated Sami, he is said to have granted the Wazrakila teachings to 3 persons, namely King Trishong Tetsen, the venerable lady Karchenza, Yeshit Chogyal, and Chendrenpa. 2. Concerning the venerable lady's tradition, at the time of his departure from Tibet, the master Padmasambhava taught the venerable lady Karchenza the concise and complete root fragment of Wazrakila, the higher rites of which essentially subsume the means for the attainment of enlightenment, and the lower rites of which essentially subsume the integration of sorcery with the path. And then, in the rock cavern of Naring Sengidzong in Mongka, present-day Bhutan. In the south, she opened up the mandala of material symbols and entered into practice. On the 21st day, all the kilas, of which the material mandala was composed, laughed, emitted light, and began to jump and shake. The venerable lady thought to herself, "It is said, if Kila be accomplished, perform the ritual stab. But in fact, I have no object to stab. Oh well, I shall stab the Zandra demon of my ancestors." So, thinking, the venerable lady rotated the kila of ritual service. It vanished into the sky and crashed down into a barberry bush behind her ancestral home. this being the abode of the Zandre demon, all her ancestors. The barberry bush was burnt to a crisp, and the Zandre was liberated in the spatial expanse of equanimity. Afterwards, the descendants of that venerable lady's family kept the Kila, because it sufficed just to brandish it. The lineage became renowned as Carcenza's Zandre subduing lineage. The venerable lady expounded this doctrine to her brother, Carchen Pelgiwangchuk, and it was gradually propagated. Concerning the royal lady's tradition, Chokrosa met Master Padmasambhava in person, but she requested empowerment from the meditational deity and not from the guru. Therefore, the deity vanished into the guru's heart, and she lost the good fortune of receiving empowerment. But the venerable lady Yeshit Chogyal transmitted it to Chokrosa with the permission of Padmasambhava, and another lineage thence sprang forth. 4. Again, there is the Nanam tradition. This is simply the tradition of the lineage of the great Rongzampa, which has just been explained above. Concerning it, some say that the grandfather of the great Rongzampa, Rongben Yonten Rinchen, or Pelje Rinchen, met Master Padmasambhava in person and lived for 300 years. He taught his son, the father of Rongzom Pandita, who was named Rinchen Shultrim, and lived for 150 years. From him, the lineage known as the Rong tradition emerged. 5. Concerning the black deity Vajrakila, Padmasambhava of Odiana and his consort both instructed Dre Atsarasali. He taught Langlap Kanchup Dorje, from whom the lineage gradually descended to one, Kurup Yangdak of Yamdruk, who made all the deities of the mandala black on the basis of the Nirvana Tantra Vajrakila. Hence the name of this tradition. If this account indeed refers to Atsarasali, the lineage could not have been direct because there was a great span of time between him and Langlap. However, there was also a certain Dreatsaranuru who is said to have attained the accomplishment of longevity. Despite the difference of their names, there is little contradiction if these two are identified as one and the same. When the precious Lama Phakpa was unable to find a continuous lineage for the liberating empowerment of the lower right, he searched for it, saying that he would request it even from a beggar. He heard that there was one Atsaranuru who had been a personal disciple of Yeshit Chogyal, and who, having become an awareness holder, controlling the duration of his own life, wandered about with no certain destination in places such as Shitavana. At that precious Phakpa sent much gold with Loa Latsawa, and thus obtained the continuous lineage of the liberating empowerment. So it is said. 6. Concerning the Shakya tradition of Vajrakila, this lineage was transmitted in a succession beginning with Kon Lui Wangpo, a disciple of the great master Padmasambhava. An unbroken lineage was well known in both the doctrinal and familial lines of the Shakyapa, hence the name of this tradition. 7. Moreover, the perfect practice of Vajrakila based on the secret tantra of Vajrakila, the 6 secret tantras, and the blue-skirted one's cycle, which was abridged from the 12 sections Kilaya Tantra, were transmitted in the lineage of Nyaknyanakumara, which has been described above. Langlap Kanchuk Dorje and other masters of Vajrakila There were an inconceivable number of individuals who obtained manifest signs of accomplishment from this meditational deity, so it will not be possible to mention them all. Nonetheless, there was one in particular called Langlop Kanjuk Dorje. During his childhood, he was separated from his parents, and, like the Venerable Milarepa, suffered greatly at the hands of his paternal relations. This was unbearable to Dre Atsara, who gave him a cycle that was profound and to the point, and derived from the esoteric instructions of Wasrakila. Langlop practiced it and thereby put an end to his paternal family. Although the great fame he achieved in this way increased, he had to live as a shepherd in Kore, for he lacked the fruit of generosity practiced in past lives. At the same time, there was one spiritual benefactor, Ra Lotsawa, whose domain and fortunes were quite vast. Many of the great gurus and noblemen of Tibet, powerless to do otherwise, had to prostrate before him. It is said that if they did not comply, Ra Lotsawa would liberate them with the wrathful mantras of Yamantaka. About that wrathful teaching of his. A whole clay barrel containing a Yamantaka cycle had been discovered as treasure by one Tumpa Gyajangdrum. Having copied out about half of the Lord of Life, evil and mean-hearted, he went for Ra Lotsawa, who appended that teaching to his own Yamantaka cycle and invented an Indian origin with the pretense that he had translated it from Sanskrit. Similarly, from among the many treasure troves of Bundang, he discovered numerous esoteric instructions concerning sorcery, exorcism, and hail, Vaishravana, Jambala, Ganapati, and so forth. And so it was that the Yamantaka cycle of the new translation schools came to have any efficacious rites. When that mantra preceptor, Ra Lotsawa, who had liberated 13 bodhisattvas, including Marpa Santarmadore, and the 13 translators who were his own equals, including Yad Lotsawa, arrived at a religious festival in Kore, Langlok Kamchuk Dorje did not prostrate before him. Ra Lotsawa thought that he was just a fool, but on hearing a description of him, said, "Very well, he will not live beyond this evening, just wait." He began to perform the wrathful rite, but during the first declaration of troop for the purpose of capturing and summoning the consciousness of the victim, a shower of briarwood keelas rained down on him and his disciples, wounding all the ordinary students outside. During the second declaration, a rain of iron keelas fell from the mandalas, the wrathful deities of the 10 directions, with their retinues, including the devourers and slaughterers. And during the final declaration, Ra Lotsawa saw the sky fill with fire and droning sounds. And there appeared the indestructible youth, Wasrakumara, like a red-hot iron almost cleaving the mountains in two, ravenously grimacing above him. At that, Ra Lotsawa was terrified. He begged forgiveness and venerated Langlop with prostrations and offerings. This is the origin of the saying that the preceptor of Yamantaka was ruined by Kila. It is said that while many obtained accomplishment through the higher rites of Wasrakila, in the lower rites none revealed a more powerful force than did Langlop Kamchuk Dorje. His main disciples were Nanam Sherep Chultrim, Ki Kyangyel of Mongu, Trong Fuburgo of Rong, and Yangnak of Uyugrolpo. Among them, Ki Kyangyel, who is also called Kiben Kamchuk Rinchen, had his house, fields, and wealth stolen by his paternal relations. He became exceedingly disgusted and requested the empowerment of Wasrakila from Langlop, who said, "Perform the ritual service of the deity for 9 months, then practice the rites of the trio of sea, chalk, and shell for 2 months. Your aim will be achieved." During just that, he reached the limit of power. Then noticed many people had frothed the earth and wall, warming themselves in the sun, he saw that all were his enemies. He brandished his keela in the direction of the wall, and the wall collapsed. All his enemies were thus set on the path of the hereafter. For this he became known as Ki Kyangyel, Ki who brought down the wall. All this lineage possessed such occult power, so it will not be possible to write it all down here. Again, this Wazrakila tradition is famous for its utterly vast occult power. By brandishing the Kila at a brush fire in a sandalwood forest, the great master Padmasambhava restored the forest. By brandishing it at the flooding waters of the Ganges, Vimalamitra fixed the river's course. By brandishing it at Mount Trakarkongchen, the Niwar Silamanju made the rock face crumble to pieces. By thrusting at the tracks of a wolf, the venerable Lady Karchensa caused the wolf to be swept away in an avalanche. By raising against the crow which had carried off his rosary, Menugya Wen Yingpo made the burr fall to the earth. And by inflicting it upon the yak-hair tents of the Mon army, Lopelji Lodro overpowered them. In these and other instances, these masters thrusting the Kila at both enemies and obstacles were invincible, even in the face of a powerful magic. And by thrusting it inwardly at the five poisonous conflicting emotions, numberless masters obtained supreme accomplishment. Dharkarupa and the Terma tradition of Wazrakila. Moreover, there's the tradition of the treasure, through which the manifest signs of accomplishment were exceedingly clear. The great master Padmasambhava conferred the empowerment, tantra, and instructions of Wazrakila on the king Trishang, and then secured it in the form of a treasure, along with the doctrinal cycle of the utterly secret Hayagriva, at the rock of Sewalung in Yerpa. When Dharkarupa, a lord among accomplished masters, performed the means for attainment in the upper cave of Komo Namgyel, he met the master, great master, Padmasambhava, in person, who said, "Practice in the moon cave, Dawafuk at Yerpa." He did accordingly. There, the great master arrived by horse on the rays of the sun every morning and taught the doctrine to him. Every evening he departed on the sun's rays, saying that he was off to tame the ogres. At that time, Dharkarupa discovered the Kila, which was a material symbol, at its place of concealment in Sewalung at Yerba. When Dharkungpa went to Lhasa at market time, he devastated the bazaar with a whirlwind. Then he proceeded to Tsang and met Shakya Pandita, who was on his way to Kirong, and they stayed in the same house. Since Dharka's speech was defective, he counted the mantra saying, "Om Wazrakili Kilaya." But Shakya Pandita said, "That is wrong. One should say, Wazrakili Kilaya." At this, Dharka's heart was swollen with pride. "Even though the mantra is wrong, I can still do this," he said, and forcefully jammed his Kila into a rock as if it were clay. Then he pulled out the Kila with a twist. The point was slightly cracked. When Shakya Pandita knew him to be an accomplished master and said, "I am on my way to debate with some extremists. You must come as my assistant." "Okay," he said, and they set out together. When they reached Kirong, it was decided that, in accord with the Indian custom, the banner of whichever doctrine prevailed would be raised aloft. The loser would embrace the victor's doctrine. Shakya Pandita and Haranandin engaged in the battle of debate for 13 days. And finally, Shakya Pandita was victorious. Nonetheless, Haranandin would not permit the Indians to enter the Buddhist teaching, saying, "Let us compete in signs of accomplishment." At this, the extremist threw back his matted hair, and flapping his hands like wings, flew into the sky. Shakya Pandita saw that he could only be tamed by the power of Gnostic mantras, and called out to Dharka, "Hey, Wazrakili Kila, get over here." At once, the great lord of yogas stabbed his Kila into the heart of the extremist's shadow, exclaiming,
Omwasra kili kilaya hum fat. And the extremist fell to the earth like a bird struck by a stone. Then Chakya Pandita, as a heroic sign of his victory in debate, led Haramdin along, so long as he still refused ordination. But since the great master Padmasambhava had ordered the 12 goddesses of the earth to protect the doctrine in Tibet from extremists, they inflicted their punishment. At the Tibetan border near Kirong, the extremist vomited blood from his mouth and was sent down the fifth path. Subsequently, upholders of the non-Buddhist philosophies were not to be seen in Tibet. Some may well have arrived, but no one with the intellectual power capable of really disputing the Buddhist teaching. Dharka himself proceeded to Musae, where he enshrined his kila as the centerpiece of the temple's shrine. Thereafter, it changed hands several times, and today is reported to be on display at Sera Monastery,